Well, Joash or Jehoash, this is 2 Kings 12 and 2 Chronicles 23. Well, Joash did right before God. He apparently did a lot of good things whilst the priest Jehoiada was alive. And then he went wrong, and he even killed Jehoiada's children. So what happened? Well, Jehoiada died, and Joash, we read in 2 Chronicles 23, was influenced by the wicked princes of Judah. So all his apparent strength of character and zeal for God was really just a product of his upbringing. And when the scaffolding was removed, when Jehoiada died, who he really was revealed. And oddly enough, in the Chronicles record, straight afterwards, in 2 Chronicles 24 and 26, you see the same thing with Uzziah. He also was zealous for God while Zechariah the priest was alive. And then when Zechariah was off the scene, he also went wrong. He'd failed to reflect upon the lesson of Joash. And you see there, by the way, how life repeats itself. And you see that because God is that invisible hand that is at work. The idea is, of course, that we are to reflect upon biblical history, and we're to reflect upon the people God brings into our lives, because we are to learn from them, to see how his hand works, to perceive the precedents. We live in a world where history is bunk, generally, and it is seen as nothing more than a passing social or historical or cultural kind of interest, and the hurrying secular man has got no time for that, really, on any deep sort of level. And that may or may not be true, but biblical history is different. The Bible, in one sense, is a load of biography, and we are to perceive and learn from that, and to see the same outline situations and processes going on in our lives. So Uzziah failed to figure this, that Joash had gone wrong because he was only living out the expectation of Jehoiada, who had raised him as effectively a father figure to him. And I see this in people I know, that some of the worst atheists that I know are people who once were very religious and were raised often in strong Christian homes, but they individuated from those backgrounds, as one does as you get older. Maybe mum and dad died, or you just simply get older and individuate and become totally your own person. And then there is this dramatic loss of faith. Now, we live in a world where, on one hand, individualism is in vogue, but on the other, people lack, I think, real personality, real character, and are so easily influenced by others. And this is one of the downfalls of social media, that it tends to sort of herd people in certain directions, depending on who you listen to, who you watch, what pictures you look at, what images you allow to dominate your own thinking. The call of Jesus Christ is to you personally, that you might become his, and whatever collective dimension that might have in terms of membership of the wider body of Christ, ultimately salvation is personal. Just like Israel were given an individual inheritance in Canaan. Although all the individual inheritances are not actually recorded for each family, it is quite clear from the reasoning of the law of Moses and history, such as Naboth refusing to sell the inheritance of his fathers, etc., the legislation about Zelophehad's daughters, it's quite clear that it was God's intention that they should each have their own individual inheritance in Canaan forever. Although it wasn't theirs, it was, if you like, an eternal leasehold because the land was God's. And that language of inheritance and possession is used in the New Testament about our individual inheritance in the kingdom of God. And for us to get there, God is working with each of us on a very personal program to uniquely prepare you for that unique eternity and the nature of that eternity which awaits you. But the problem is, we are influenced by others. So often it works out that if somebody has to leave a church or an ecclesia and they are isolated, they're away from that influence. Perhaps they fall in love with somebody, marry and shift somewhere else, or the church shuts down, or there's a division in the church or whatever. So often their faith fails. They have failed to separate church from God. And it was the same, in essence, with Joash, that he failed to separate his own personal relationship with God with his relationship with his environment and those who had raised him. So this is particularly, I think, relevant to those of us who were raised believers, in believing families of one sort or another. If for the rest of our lives we are simply living out the faith of our fathers, if we are living out some glorified kind of Sunday school Christianity, well, in the end, the scaffolding will be removed, because God wants you personally for himself, and Jesus wants you personally for himself, and they want you. And we shall meet him personally, and we shall be given that stone with a name written on it that only you and him know. It's Jesus writing to the churches in Revelation. This is a picture of a totally personal aspect to our relationship with him. And this is why one almost has to be reconverted. If you knew nothing but the way of Christianity from your cradle, really, well, you are going to have some sort of reconversion, which may or may not be painful, depending how open you are to the leading of God and his Spirit. This has to be. It really has to be that way, because it cannot be that you sort of drift through life sort of clinging on to all the symbols of faith that you were brought up with, and you will sort of drift likewise into eternal life and into eternal relationship with Jesus. It's not a collective thing. In one sense it is, in that Christ died and all those who are in his body are saved. But it is also, there's also this personal dimension. And if we are living out the faith of our fathers and no more, then that intention will not ultimately be able to come true. He calls us, if you like, to ultimate independence, to ultimate individuality, to be ultimately real and credible, broken free from all those moulding influences upon us, but moulded alone by him and his word and his Spirit.